want to continue speaking about the blessing and troubles. Of a growing church. Now I'll read Philippians chapter 1. We are continuing. Now we are in verse
13.
So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Heavenly Father, as we gather this evening, may you minister and speak to us. We arrest every staggering thought under the obedience of Christ in the name of Jesus. We pray, Heavenly Father, for any that may not be feeling well right now. As your word goes forth, may the healing power of God reach out and deliver any who is unwell. That, O God, we may all receive your word with gladness, strength, and grace. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all things. Amen. You may be seated. Now, notice this, my brothers and sisters. Paul says, many of the brethren in the Lord have become confident. They've been encouraged. What has done that? Because they have seen me get arrested and chained, and that has encouraged them to also have boldness in preaching the word. That is how your life should be in the house of God. Always remember this. Each one of us, we have a behavior. That behavior can be adding a blessing to the house of God, or it can be taking away a blessing from here. So ask yourself, my manners, the way I do things, the way I speak, does it encourage someone, or it provokes them? Paul here says, I have been strong in the Lord until they arrested me. You know what that did? Other young men looked at Paul and said, hey, brother Paul is a man who is not afraid. He doesn't give up on what he believes. The next thing, they also were standing with boldness. They said, "Who stand like Paul." What do you see there? One man's behavior encouraged another man. Heavens, they take note of that. When your behavior has encouraged another person,
it means
they've
given a plus in heaven.
There is a blessing in that.
Amen.
Every aspect of your behavior, it affects this world one way or another. Amen.
The way you do things.
Vitandiza kapena.
It helps or maybe.
Vibwere savuto.
Or it brings a problem.
Pamalo pamene mulile.
Where you are.
Your behavior. What you speak. The way you relate with people. The way you respond when you are angry. It can either help someone or it can discourage them. Now, you don't say, nivao evo.
That is his problem. That's how I am.
It's not
their problem.
Whatever you do, it has a bearing in heaven. The Bible says, you will be judged for every idle word that you speak. So you need to be mindful. How is my life affecting another person? Paul, because of his boldness, the way he stood even when in trial, that impacted other brethren. They say, Brother Paul can do that. We can also do it. Then they were filled with boldness. May your life impact another believer. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you know, when Paul plants a church, there were so many problems to deal with. You see, the Holy Spirit can move and he can start a church. Because it has to be the Holy Spirit to start a church. But that does not mean you have perfect people in that church. You see this light? Did you see the thing which was flying here? That's a bat, right? Right? Very soon you start seeing insects also wanting to go to the light. But is that the reason why we've put this light here? Did we put this light so that a bat comes in here? Hello? Have we put this bat so that this little insect here should also come? This is a strange visitor. But you know what? He is here because of the light. That's what the gospel does. When the word comes, it's an attraction. Others come with true repentance. But na bat na yo is pesa. So we see it. Here is what Paul is saying. He was receiving a lot of reports. Brother so and so has pride. The other brother wants to be preaching also. Listen to what Paul answered. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. And some also of goodwill. So, Paul is saying, I know, I'm aware, others preach to exhort themselves. Others are preaching to start arguments and arguing. To say, no, this thing has to be done this way. No, another one, no, it has to be done. Paul says, I know. There are others who are just there to argue. And he says, then there are also others who preach out of a good heart. So what will Paul do? These are the different conditions in Philippi. It's not a perfect people. One person preaches out of envy. And another person preaches to respond to an argument. When a pulpit becomes a place for me to fix another person, it's no longer a pulpit, it's a political podium. So all these things are reaching Paul. So now he says, The one preach Christ of contention. Not sincerely. Supposing to add affliction to my bones. No. Bones. Paul was in prison. He wanted to visit Philip. But he was arrested. So now he hears sad news. Oh, this brother is doing this. This sister has gone in the world. This other brother likes arguing. Paul says they are doing those things to add pain to my bones.
Amen.
Amen.
Because if you are chained, that is torture to you.
Manje futa kambolandi lankani
zakuti
Paulo afuna afike.
Because Paul wants to go forward. Now he is chained.
Says they are wanting to increase pain to my bones. But he says, but there are also other people. They do it out of love. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. No, Paul says, so what shall I do? Now, you see that these early churches also had their problems. Have you seen that? So Paul has done his work. He moves out. And there are all these problems. And now he is saying, one person preaches. He preaches out of envy. Another one preaches just to do arguments. Listen to me. God has never sent any preacher to just win arguments. The gospel is about transforming our hearts and our lives. It's not about making noise of contentions. Even if I'm telling you the truth, if you love arguments, there is no amount of words that can make me convince you. It takes the Spirit of God to open a person's eyes to see the truth. If they can't see the truth, pray for them. Only God can open the eyes. If you are praying for your husband or for your wife, don't try to force the word in them. Pray for them with love, with humility, because a more powerful sermon is the life you live in your home. Your life preaches a greater sermon than your words. Because you can't jump higher than your words. So your life is the best preaching. If your husband is stubborn, love him. Respect him. Save food. Love him. Ask him how was his work. Husbands. So I want my wife to come to church. Before you preach scriptures to her, let your life preach to her. One day God will give you a testimony. So what does Paul say? What then? Notwithstanding everywhere, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And either in do rejoice, yeah, and will rejoice. So Paul is in a tight place. He says, I'm bound in chains, and I'm hearing others are preaching out of pride. Others are preaching with wrong intentions. He says, anyway, whichever way they're doing it, Christ is preached, and I'll rejoice. Now, you will be a big fool when you say, anyway, me, I have pride, and the Apostle Paul says he's okay, he rejoices, whichever way.
No.
Paul is doing his work.
Paul abila nchito yake.
But you need to assess yourself. Am I going to be one who preaches out of contention? Who increases pain in his bones? Or one who does the work of God out of love? But I'll tell you something. Paul also had people who truly loved God.
Amen.
Timothy was one of them. Let's read what he says about Timothy. Philippians
2,
verse
16.
First, let us start from chapter 2, verse
14.
Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do you know what that means? Remember, this is a letter Paul is writing to a church. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. When there is a program, brothers teach the so and so. Murmurings. And Paul says, do things without murmurings. So this is an old spirit. Paul faced this problem. As long as there is a program, there'll be this one. It is not the spirit of God. By the way, I don't know why you are responding like that. I haven't been told anything. I'm just preaching. So now I'm getting worried of your responses. So without murmurings. Without murmurings and disputings. So when we are in the house of God, let's enter with humility. Even if it is your husband preaching, or it is your child preaching, or it is your sister, respect each other in the house of God with love.
Don't get familiarity of the family and bring it in the church.
In the house of God, it's humility. Even if it is my child, he says, I want to sing a special song. I won't see him say, oh, Siusiso is my boy. I'll see him as a son of God is singing. Let me hear, what is the Lord ministering to my heart? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the attitude you come in here with, you either get a blessing or you don't get anything at all. Even as I'm preaching like this, Let your amen be because God is speaking to you. Don't say amen because Musa wati amulasa oja. Nishindiwe unavuto. Me, that's how I enter church. Even if I see there is a brother with a weakness, I don't go in a church hoping that something will be mentioned for him. I go in a church like in a hospital. Have you ever seen entering a hospital and you're asking other patients, "Is my problem yanu ni chaji?" Ati mwa kufesa ni mangwara bwana. You see a doctor entering with an injection. They close the curtains. Now we say guratu mwala sababu anjoko. Does that happen? You can't do that in a hospital. In a hospital you enter with your foul. Uzi mafuto yako. Kapena ili ku private part, kapena ili mala ni secret yako. Mafuto yako. Now this is a hospital. So think about yourself. Think about your problem. And tell God, help me. Even if there's another sinner in the corner. Forget about him. Because God has brought something for you. Forget about your neighbor in the house of God. You say, "Lord, speak to me." Hospital mzako alila kulipe kuseka. Kulipe kuseka. Chifukwa next ndiwe ibwela.
The next one, it is you, it's coming.
So ikamtema ujamaa mlungu sema mlungu nitandizeni.
Hits that one, you tell God, "Lord, help me.
Nikuru nukireni mwachifundo mwana.
Give me in your mercy."
Praise the Lord.
I'm here to mandidwe.
Thank you, Lord.
Now listen to what Paul says. We're on verse 16, Okay, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Remember what we said. Whatever you do in the house of God, do it out of love. For God, number one. Number two, for his people. A person who does it out of love, he will do it in secret, not for anyone to see. Because you are doing it to the glory of God. Never do anything to impress anyone. I remember one time someone was complaining at a funeral.
Me, I help a lot. People don't help me.
Even at the funeral,
I'm the one who gives a.
When you hear a person speaks like that, whatever they gave, no matter how big it is, it was not true giving. They were giving for people to observe and to see. Never do that in the house of God. Because one day God will say, so you think you give out of your strength? Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He built Babylon. Put buildings. What happened one day? Nebuchadnezzar was walking. And he says, "Hey, I'm a great king. I've built all this." And the Bible says angels heard that. You are great, Nebuchadnezzar.
He said, "Give us our mind, the mind that God
gives us." Tunzeru anafaka Nebuchadnezzar. Bible kamba nange na sanga, anafunda. So even in zeru za minute 7 zesa, si zatu.
Even the mind that they are using is not.
So palibe vozi wonesa.
There is no boasting.
Atine nika plana ene, vima longo soka
vipo. When I plan, things work. No.
Mwina katutenga tunzeru tuja.
When the owner gets that mind,
uzange na sanga.
You get mind.
Zonse za mine tiri nazo za Mulungu.
The mindset we have is
Mulungu akakupasako tunzeru muyamike kuti Mulungu sitwanga ni twanu tutunzeru.
It's not mine, it's yours.
Nebuchadnezzar learned it the hard way.
Nebuchadnezzar anatua na njira yovuta.
There is nothing that you have that belongs to you.
Kuliba chini toa samiri na chuto mene chini chani.
Pariana pemba kubadu wapam.
Who asked to be born here?
No, sir.
Ati nipase nguwa ni mpepo Mulungu ni badweko alipo pano.
He gave me air so that I should be born, Lord. Does anyone do that? No.
No, sir.
Mkwiyo ya umoyo unabwera. Simu nzezi wako.
The breath of life came, you didn't even know anything.
Mwamene unabwerera uja mpuyo, nde mwamene uzaka kuchokela.
The way it came, that's how it would go.
Palipa minaziba deyo mwalira. Ima enda mpepo ita ya choka eka.
That air goes.
Timu yope Mulungu.
We need to fear God.
So pa mine tinge na pachise kwa paja.
When we enter that house,
tifani katangena na manda.
We need to enter with fear.
Kosa chita chisholo vezi na Mulungu.
Don't be familiar with God.
Kosa wanakutuwa ni pamene pata patechi ya magloko.
That is that church for blocks. No.
Tiri mumanso ya Mulungu pa.
We are in the house of the Lord.
Nchifukwa chake sinifani kwa kamba zintu zombe za chabebu.
I'm not supposed to speak things that make
ni kambe zintu ziza titandiza.
I also need to speak things
na ime kuzifa kapo.
So I also put myself
chifukwa
there.
Pa manso pa Mulungu tonse ndisevana.
In the sight of God, we are all children.
So let us fear the Lord. Doing everything without murmuring. Without disputing. Don't say, no, he's a young person. How can he tell me that? If God has anointed a person to lead, follow that. Because it's the Spirit of God. Many people are destroyed for familiarity. So when you come in the house of God like this, respect the person who stands here. Respect each other. And speak good things about each other. The day you allow a spirit of gossip to get among you,
muzajana mwamene achitira maamiwemzi akaenda mumunda. You eat each other the way those amiwemzi drove the majirana in the field.
Munaona maamiwemzi ati yabwera maamiwemzi.
Have you seen how the amiwemzi come?
Ya maja.
They eat.
Ya masheta.
They
ukaona patali paone kangati munda ulipo.
Afar, you can think there's a few.
When you look afar, it looks green.
But that one like a green.
When you come near, you say, mawe, mawe, mawe. Yaja maami wems.
Binasiriza.
Uone uyu kakwanja kanajewa, wanamkamba.
This one, I look at them, they ate him.
Uone uyu agonda, wanamuza tu uyu ni chite na chite. The Holy Spirit can't move in an environment like that. When you have nothing nice to speak about a person, keep quiet and pray for the person. But when you say they are doing wrong, approach them. With love, express how you appreciate them. Do you know that appreciating each other should be part of our language? You say, Brother Msukuma, I appreciate the way you do things. We thank God for you. Oh, my peer, God bless you. Muma nilimbisa maninge.
You strengthen me.
Speak good things about each other. Even when the devil wants to put anger in your heart, the best way to defeat him is to speak good about your sister, to speak good about your brother, because love overcomes. Anger separates.
Amen.
And you know what? Who is the winner? It's the devil.
Satan is the winner.
Because when people love each other, they are humble to each other. Even an outsider, if they bring a lie, you say, no, that's not true. Right? And in a congregation, there will always be a person who spreads rumors and stories. When you are with them, they won't talk about, oh, that scripture blessed me. They won't talk about, wow, you know, I was in prayer today and I felt so good. They say, What do you think about what that brother is doing? Don't allow that spirit. It's a terrible spirit. It destroys churches. You know, when you enter a church, it is supposed to be a liberating atmosphere. Where you even say, oh, I've gone to church to go and dance, to go and praise the Lord. But when children of God are not careful, a church can become an environment. When someone says, praise the Lord! Another one looks, why is he screaming? Another one says, hallelujah! You don't do that in church. You create a sick church. Do things without murmurings and disputings. When you see a problem, call for prayer and fasting. So let us pray over this. Pray, seek the Lord. If one brother has a problem, one sister has a problem, maybe they have a patient, take time to go and visit. That is why in Lusaka we have what we call home cells. On Thursdays. Today it's at Brother Nzima's home. Next week we meet at another person's home. Do we have that here? Ah! Why? That's very important, brethren. Because the church should not just be here. We need to have cell meetings, meeting in the homes. The next fellowship is in another home. That's your opportunity to even speak to other relatives in that home. Let people see the love of God in you. It's a blessing. It means you are visiting each other. That's very important. Don't just meet on Sundays. Don't just meet here. Meet from home to home. Praise the Lord. That's what we do, and it is helping us. Because it's a busy world now. But when you have a program like that, it allows you to move from home to home. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Now Paul says that you may be blameless and harmless. Do you know if you are not careful, you can cause harm in the house of God? Don't be harmful. Don't be a person who starts a wrong thing. Be a person who influences others into right behavior. Be a person, when someone has a negative spirit, you calm them down. You know, there are certain people who are so wonderful, you feel guilty to start a gossip in their presence.
When you are with them,
you feel bad to start talking about this estate. Be that kind of a person. Not in Gatulipo.
There are people talk about nonsense. They're even happy lifting up their legs. No.
It means you are darkness also.
It means now you are dimmer.
Without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So the Bible says, you children of God, you are supposed to shine as lights in a dark world. No matter how bad the world is, let's not adopt its habits. Now, let's look at what Paul did. he saw all these different troubles in the church. And listen what he did in verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So Timothy, Paul used to have this young man, Timothy. He would send him to places. Paul was now a prisoner. But he says, I'll send another servant of God so that he tells me how you are doing as a church. He says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. So Paul says, Timothy is someone we do things exactly the same. We have the same mind. And I believe he will care for you naturally. You know what it means to do something naturally? It means you love that and you do it without being forced. And Paul says, I know when Timothy comes, he will take care of you naturally. It's in him. That's the biggest problem of a church. To have people who do the work, who worship, because it flows naturally in them. When they see there's a problem, say, oh, someone needs to water the plants. It bothers them. I think I need to be there. What can I do in the house of God? That's how we are supposed to be. To have a heart. When you hear, oh, brother, so-and-so is sick. Oh, no, I need to pray for that person. You are concerned from your heart. Brother Nzima, when we were coming, he was telling me about goats. And how different they are from the sheep. And he was telling me how difficult a goat is. But mbuzi,
it is very clever, cunning, and very rude.
But again, easily gets lost. When it sees a bungwe of goats coming, now you're in the
join.
But, hey, I didn't know that's how a goat is. Whatever happens, please, don't be a goat. You know, if you are pulling a goat, it knows automatic brake system. You are pulling it. It argues, I don't want to go this way. A sheep is not like that. You know that, huh? If they say, oh, let us all come and work. Praise the Lord, we'll be there, brother. That's how children of God are supposed to be.
Amen.
Not in any number program.
Me, I'm busy.
After all, I'm passing to Mono.
You're also giving me a little
pastor. Mbuzi.
That's a goat.
I don't know why, Brother Nzima, these people are responding like this. I could be causing other problems. But well, let the Spirit lead.
Amen.
Now, look at this. There's Timothy. He has a heart for the word of God. And then he says, for others, for all seek their own. Verse 21, for all seek their own. Not the things which are Jesus Christ. Be careful of that. If you are a believer, don't seek things of your own. Your number one thing in life should be doing the will of Jesus. Doing things for the betterment of the kingdom of God. And Paul says, I am sending Timothy. Because his whole mind has been given to the work of God. But others, their minds are split between worldly things and spiritual things. And so I can't, you know, they can't fully do the work effectively. I pray to God, help me, Lord. I want to be like Timothy, whom Paul said he is a man completely given to the work of God. But he says, others, they seek their own. Never do the work of God because of what profit you get from it. Look at the water tank which stands outside. Do you think people who gave for that to be there, are they getting any profit out of it? It's for the benefit of the church here. That is true giving. When someone gives, he doesn't even know you. But they just know it is promoting the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. You know, during lunchtime we were talking that there's this emergency relief money they're giving out.
At 800. What?
Everyone wants to receive, right? That sounds like a good thing. But I really feel it could have been done in a better way. Because giving people cash, yes, there are people who are wise, but others, they'll go to the tavern. And already I'm told others are going in taverns. Others have even been involved in accidents because of that. That's the problem of giving cash to the people. I am wondering why no better system was done. Look at how we did it here. What would you choose? Having a tank, vegetables are being planted the way it is done, keeping animals here so that people are helped, or giving cash. Cash doesn't stay. I believe there are other better methods they would have used. Because when you put a tank like that, money hasn't been wasted. It's still working. It now depends on the heads of the people what they can do with that. But at least the money is still there. But you put money in the hands of a drunkard. Even if you give him 1 million, it will never be enough. It will even put them in problems. But may I say this to you? If you are here and you are among those receiving that money, use it wisely. Find a little something you can do. Don't make it chiwaya. Don't. No matter how little, see how you can sow it. Will you buy an animal? Will you start selling something? Use it wisely. Because a wise man doesn't chew the seed, he plants it. But give a seed to a drunkard, ashtotenga pani ikulu. Put me this there, chiwaya. Akokota, akokota, njala, ya bwera mayo.
Then he eats and then the hunger comes.
Don't do that with that money. We've had a drought, yes? We need to have wisdom. God help us with wisdom. Because this money they are giving, it won't be given tomorrow. You can use it wisely. So that's my opinion. I feel there would have been a better way that money could have helped people. Farming, putting a rod, encouraging projects, so that there is continuous development And then places can change. Imagine how many 800 kwachas are given. How many people? How much money is that? Tomorrow, there will be nothing. Well, that's politics. Now look at this. Verse 22, he says, "But you know the proof of him that as a son with the father, he hath served with me in the gospel." So this is Paul speaking about Timothy. So that's Timothy. But Timothy wasn't the only one. There was another one called Epaphroditus. Wonderful brother. Let's read about him. Verse 25. "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants." So there was this brother Epaphroditus. He used to, when Paul is in prison, this brother would try to find out a way to help out Paul. You know, there are always people who truly care for you. You are in prison, they want to make arrangements for you, for food to be sent to you. But he did something more. He says, "Epaphroditus, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness." Until his heart was full of heaviness. Because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Now this brother got sick. He used to go to places Paul may have wanted to go and preach. But Paul could not go because he was bound in prison. But Epaphroditus started working hard until one time he got very sick. The sickness almost killed him. Verse 27, "For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." So God protected Epaphroditus from dying, so that Paul doesn't go into even more sorrow and depression, thinking sad. Because if Epaphroditus had died, Paul would have had sorrow. Do you see how Paul and Epaphroditus loved each other? Paul says, "God healed my brother so as to deliver me from sorrow." Meaning he really loved Epaphroditus, that if he had died, it would have caused him sorrow. And Epaphroditus also loved the brotherhood. He loved Paul. He loved God above all things, that he sacrificed his own life almost dying. Probably had a health issue, but he put it aside for the cause of the work of ministry. And in verse 28, "I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful." "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness." Now listen, "and hold such in reputation." Respect him highly. You know, he says, hold such in reputation. Amen. So Paul says, look at our brother Epaphroditus. That's a brother to hold in reputation. You know, in life we should have people we hold in reputation. People we look at and we feel they're a good example to us. Paul tells them that's a brother to emulate. Those are brothers to talk about. Because you see, that's how God has put life, made life. Your life has to be influenced by another person. And a person whom you hold in reputation, they will influence your behavior, they will influence the way you do things. So now Paul here says, such is a person to hold in reputation. What kind of a person do you hold in reputation in your mind? What are you learning from him? What are you learning from her? Brothers, sisters, let us put up a good example. As our young people are growing up, let them want to dress the way we dress. Let them want to sing the way we sing. Let them want to behave the way we behave. Because they'll grow into that. When they see the way we dress, you know, children learn by example. Very little of what you speak to them may impact them, but what they see. If a man always comes drunk home, a child is looking at that. One day he will grow old and he will get married. What will he be doing? He will be coming home like that. He won't see anything wrong with that. Because his father was like that. Children follow the way your life is. Even if you say,
you should be careful.
Very important. As a woman, don't think these little children are not observing you. Your husband comes. He's not served food. Okapena is not received.
Swala ndiliwa.
Tinamvela njala make.
Ama tinanjala.
Sumona kuti nane nalema.
Can't you see I'm also tired?
Your daughter is watching that.
Naona kamwana kanu kamkazi.
Nako kakakwatira. Kakakwatiriwa.
Kakakwatiwa.
Kazaka tosa mawe yamene aja.
Say the same thing.
Sumona kuti nalema.
Can't you see that I'm also tired?
Kaja ka voice karinina vamenekenzaona kuti vamai. So when you are a father,
when you are a
mother, you have a lot of work on you. Let me tell you this as I close. When an insect, caterpillar, when it destroys one seed, how many things has it destroyed? That seed is not alone. Inside that seed are many seeds. There are many fruits. Many leaves. Out of that one seed, there are many trees. There is a forest. So when one seed is destroyed, an entire forest has disappeared. When the devil destroys a man in the home, a whole family has been set in the wrong direction. If a home is wise,
if you have problems,
aka choke one day, mwana akutaka series of university.
One day, one
as that
will come out, will finish university.
University of Zambia.
From the village.
Bas walondo la family kuipanga in the right direction.
Well, my manage to put the family in the right direction. Mukawafunza. When you ask them,
akamba batate nesenzo punzira, but
eh. My father was not educated, but
from a books and the tools that kaziwerenga tikasifaka
kwanze. On school he used to be very careful and mindful.
So as a father you may not have certain things, but you can have wisdom. and set a family in the right direction. Let children go higher than where you left.
We are born differently.
There are others who are born. They find a rat that was already made by parents. They are there. They are born. The father already had a business. The father already had houses on rent. Hey, he's blessed.
Not that he's sick.
Because there are many. They didn't find a rudder. Wanambira kwenda sanga, kuyambo chora mitengo, kutuwa pangerada.
They started going to the bush to get trees to start.
So I don't know what life you have. Whether you found a rudder or not. But whether you found a rudder or not, make a rudder for your children. I'm not telling you to be rich. Wherever you are, do your best. You can say, I made mistakes, yes. But I can give good advice to my children. To set the right record. If you are serious, if you are determined, God will help you. From ashes, beauty will come. Instead of tears, rejoicing shall manifest. If you give your heart to the Lord, and one day your children will call you blessed. One day your children said, oh, our family started there, but now God made a way. Tomorrow we shall pray. We believe God will break the chains. We believe God will set families in the right record. Out of ashes, beauty shall arise. And one day you testify that there was a preaching which was done, and it turned my life around. Shall we stand?